Well, I'm here to share a testimony. That's what we started with. We're a testimony. Oh, man. God loves us. He loves us. Come on up here, Ori. I believe that God loves us so much that He uses people in our lives to reach out to us. And He loves us so much that He motivates us to reach out to others. And that's exactly what happened with my man Ori. I got a testimony from Ori via Greg last night at like 11:30 or something. A text I got from him. And you have got to hear this story. It's just incredible. This just happened last night. And Ori, why don't you take it away, man? Share that story.
Last night we got home to the Kennedy's house, my host's home, and we were gonna go play volleyball. And like on our way to, as we were getting ready to do that, I saw my mom, and she was thinking about something I could tell. So I went and asked her. I was like, "Hey, what's going on?" And she's like, "You need to call your brother. You need to talk to your older brother." So I said, "Okay, I'll call him right now and wish him Happy Father's Day, because he's got three little kids that my whole family just adores." And so I called him. I was like, "Hey, bro, what's up? You know, I'm just calling you. I want to wish you Happy Father's Day. I want to tell you I love you." And he's like, "I really need to hear that right now. I feel so run down, and I feel like no matter what I do to make people happy, if I try and make grandma happy, I make my wife unhappy. If I try to make my wife happy, I make like the whole rest of the family unhappy. If I try to make the family happy, I make somebody unhappy." And just, he was telling me like, you know, I feel so run down. I feel like I just want to get in the car and go and not come back. And as he was telling me this, like I was just letting him vent. I thought he was just venting. But as the conversation went on, I knew it wasn't just him talking. It was the enemy. He was talking. It was almost like he was talking through my brother, telling, like, getting ready to tell me that I'm gonna leave and you'll never see me again. And I felt this boldness coming almost from nowhere. It felt like it just came all around me and just flowed straight through me. And I was like, I knew where it was coming from, but I was shocked that I was about to ask my brother, like, "Hey, if you were to die tomorrow, Ethan, I'm not asking you this because I'm in Georgia on a mission trip. I'm not asking you this because I read the Bible. I'm not asking you this because I go to church. I'm asking you this because I love you and I'm your brother and I want to see you go to heaven." I said, "Ethan, do you know if you were to die tomorrow that you would go to heaven?" And like by then, both of us were crying. I was crying and he was bawling, and it was, I could tell the honesty in his voice. He's like, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I mean, I'm a good person. I guess I am." I was like, "Ethan, that's not how you get into heaven. That there is only one way to get into heaven, and it's not by going to church, you know, three times a week, twice on Sundays, once on Wednesdays. None of that. It's not about reading your Bible. The only way you can go into heaven is if you invite Jesus into your heart. And I believe 100% that what you just told me, you feeling like you want to leave, was the enemy not wanting you to hear this. Because I felt the exact same way before I got on that plane and came out to Georgia. I felt the exact same way. You know, I just don't care. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm ready to just, you know, walk away from my faith, everything. And I got on that plane, and like my life has changed because of it. I accepted the Holy Spirit, and I told my brother all of this. And I said, "Ethan, what you just told me was the enemy telling you that, to just walk away, because he does not want you to accept Jesus in your life right now. So I got to ask you, do you want to pray with me?" And so we prayed the prayer of salvation. And by the end of it, my voice was hoarse and I sounded like a little girl because I was crying. And like, it was a beautiful thing. And my brother, he was bawling. And I absolutely know he meant it with his heart, because not even 20 minutes later, his wife, my sister called me and said, "Ori, I don't know what's wrong with your brother. You need to talk to your brother." So she handed him the phone, and he wouldn't take the phone, and he wasn't speaking right. He wasn't speaking English. And I was like, "Ethan, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? And you know, what's happening? And he wouldn't say anything. So I felt the Holy Spirit again. I was like, "All right, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, evil spirits, I bind you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no power over my brother. I'm over 1,000 miles away. I'm in a different state. I'm on the other side of the country, but the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, is not. And you need to get out of that car. You need to back off on my brother right now, because he's not yours anymore, Satan. He's not yours, and he's not going down there. He's going to heaven." And like, I kicked Satan's butt for my brother. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I told him to leave, and right after that, Ethan was like, "Oh my, what, Kim? Are you okay?" And I was like, Kim, give Ethan the phone. Ethan, are you all right? What happened? Tell me what happened. Talk to me. And he's like, I don't know, Ori. I'm so scared. I'm so worried. I'm terrified right now. I was like, Ethan, I'm scared too, but you can do it. Jesus is right there with you. He loves you. I love you. Jesus loves you infinitely more than that. And I told him, I was like, Ethan, that wasn't God. That's not what God feels like. And he told me, he's like, I don't know, for some strange reason, I just wanted to jump out of the car on the highway. And I was like, no, Ethan, that is not God. That was not Jesus. That was the enemy trying to win you back, and it's not going to happen. I won't let it happen. You can't let it happen. Jesus will not let it happen. If you call on the name of Jesus Christ, whenever that happens, you will be okay. And he was crying again, and I was getting ready to again. And it was just, it was awesome. And like, I could hear the babies cry. And he's like, all right, Ori, I gotta go. I love you so much. Thank you for what you just done. You just changed my life. Thank you. Tell Mom and Katie that I love them, and I'll get home and I'll talk to Grandma as soon as I get home. I was like, Ethan, I love you. I'm so proud of you. You know, I have a Bible underneath my bed. I want you to go home and get it and just read a little bit of it. You don't have to read it tonight. You don't have to read it tomorrow, but you don't have to read a lot. Just read a little bit of it. I want you to open it up. You know, start in the book of John. Open it up and read just a couple chapters before I get home from Georgia. And me and Mom and Katie will be home soon. And I love you, and Jesus loves you. And it was just amazing. And right after that, I got off of the phone with him. I prayed, and I prayed a prayer of protection over my brother and his family. And then I called Greg up and told him. And I had Greg pray for him too. And I got off the phone. I started praying again. And I just, yeah, it was the Holy Spirit. It was amazing. Like, and my brother, he's been in the Marine Corps for the last 6 years. And almost every time I've seen him, I've wanted to tell him about the gospel. And I've wanted to tell him about Jesus. But I was just so scared because it's my brother. I can't get rejected by my brother. If I talk to him about this and he rejects me and his relationship will be different forever. I can't let that happen. I don't want to do that. So I avoided it for 6 years, longer than that. But last night, man, the Holy Spirit, it filled me with courage and boldness from the Kennedy's driveway. And it was awesome. And I just praise God for what he did. Praise God, man.
Amen. What love. What love. And then what about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? Seriously? I mean, 6 years of not reaching out. And then all it takes is one experience with the Holy Spirit. And you got the boldness and courage and faith to step out and do what you couldn't do before. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit and his work in your life, man. I'm proud of you. Way to go. Way to go. Pastor Susie.
Praise God. Well, I have another testimony to share. And Claire, why don't you come? Because Claire's going to help me share it. My daughter, Molly Anna, is a student down at College of Charleston. She lives in Charleston, and she called on Saturday and said, hey, tomorrow's Father's Day. I'm going to ride up there. Josh, her boyfriend, we're going to come up and see y'all and come to church tomorrow. And we'll be here late tonight. We won't leave until after he gets off work at midnight, so we'll be there late. And Courtney, fulfilling their childhood fantasy, Courtney is living with Molly this summer down in Charleston. She's doing an internship. And so she's down there with her. And Josh, Molly's boyfriend, has a friend. His name is Vinny. Now, if y'all were here yesterday morning, some of y'all met Josh and Vinny. And Vinny is kind of interesting. Josh is a Christian and raised in a Christian home and real strong Christian. But Vinny, and no. Vinny grew up in a really difficult situation. Alcoholics for parents, just abandoned, abused. Some really rough stuff. Not only that, at one point his father said he was a Christian and started going to church, and then he started abusing him all the worse. So that's tough. So this has been Vinny's life. And so what happened is when they went to pick up, Courtney's off for a few days too, and so Courtney said, hey, I'll go too. Well, Josh and Molly particularly have been witnessing or, you know, reaching out and loving on Vinny since Molly met him back in September. Vinny's kind of a legend at our house, all the things he does. He's kind of a wild man. He's just a, you know, just kind of a crazy fool in a lot of ways. And so they've been reaching out to him. And yesterday we were talking to him about Vinny, and they said, you know, Vinny is a hard case. Vinny, when they would, you know, talk to him many times about the Lord and about, you know, the things of God, and he'd be like, I can't be a Christian. I could never live like you. You know, and he just knew he could never live how you're supposed to live if you're a Christian. So many people, they reject the gospel or reject God because they think they're supposed to live a certain way. They're supposed to, you know, follow a certain moral code or you know, certain behaviors. And that's all, and that keeps them away. Well, anyway, so that's kind of how Vinny was. But so, anyway, here's the deal. So Courtney said, hey, I'll go. And when they got to pick up Josh from work, Vinny works with Josh. And they said, Vinny, why don't you go with us too? Vinny didn't have any clothes to wear. Josh said, hey, I'll give you a shirt. You can wear that tomorrow. So they all got together and they piled the cars and came up here. And so they came to church yesterday morning. Now, here's what's funny. I didn't even know this was going on. Yesterday morning when they woke up, they got in really late, so they all stayed over at our house. And when they got up, Josh said to Vinny, Vinny, get up. You got to go to church. And Vinny said, I'm not going to church. And Josh said to Vinny, Vinny, these people go to church. You have to go to church. Vinny said, look, I don't go to church. And Josh said, well, get your butt up. You're going to church. So through a series of events, Josh kicking him in the butt, he came to church. So they got to church. Now imagine your first time coming to church in 7 years or for years and years of your life is to come in that service yesterday morning. That's a little intense. I mean, you got the crazy guy from Colorado telling about the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and you're just out there. I mean, is that how you normally minister at church? You talk about speaking in tongues that openly? Never. Yeah, it's a breakthrough for you. And so, you know, and it's just a lot. You got to realize if somebody's point of reference is Catholicism and then they came in here and it's kind of different. So anyway, they came in the service. And so, of course, Molly and Courtney are the whole time. They're sitting there with Vinny going, oh, my goodness, what is this to him? Courtney told me later, I'm just sitting there going, help us. Because how am I going to manage this? Well, anyway, they came to service. They were still here at the end of the service. We were all talking to them. That's the first time I ever actually met Vinny, was there after service. And so then they left, and Vinny and Courtney went with the Netzlers and spent the afternoon with them. And Josh and Molly came back to our house. And Josh and Molly had to get back last night, and so they left and went back to Charleston. But Vinny hung out with the Netzlers all afternoon, and at some point, he told him he wanted to come to church. He told John he wanted to come to church.
Yeah, he said that after Sunday morning. Well, Courtney was scared he was going to get up and walk out any minute, talk about drinking Kool-Aid and all these things. And he's like, she's like, oh, God. And so he stayed, and he said, you know, so after the service, and she said, well, what'd you think? And he's like, that's pretty intense. And he says, it's a pretty intense church, isn't it? Like, you guys, like, take this seriously. Like, you really believe this, right? And she's like, yeah, it's my life. You know, this is where we grew up. So he said, sometime during the afternoon, he said, well, I want to go to, are you guys going to church tonight? And she said, yeah, we're going. He says, well, I want to go. And so she's like, you do? He's like, yeah, I want to see someone talk in tongues. And, He said, I want to see someone speak in tongues, and they talked about miracles that night, so I want to see a miracle. So he decided, and they had driven separately so he could stay for the service last night, so they came. And I'm not sure what, if anything, he expected when he got here, but we were all sitting on the same row, and so I'm kind of looking over at him during the service, and he's like this, just kind of skeptical, like, all right, let's see what you got. So he listens to Jeremy, and he's taking it all in. And I just spoke to him just a few minutes before I got here, actually, because I wanted to ask him something about sharing this tonight. But so he said that he wanted to see a miracle, so he's listening, and, you know, Jeremy starts to call, you know, it's time to minister to people, and he says, so people were going up there, and they were getting their miracles, and a lot of people said they had pain, they didn't have it anymore. But I'm thinking, all right, I'm not sure if that's enough to convince me, because I didn't see anything. He says, not that I thought the people were lying, that they didn't have pain, but I just didn't see anything. You know, I saw men bend over. I saw somebody, you know, say, okay, it doesn't hurt. But he says, so I'm not sure if that's really enough to convince me. And at this point, the service is coming to an end. And Jeremy, if you were here last night, you know, he called certain specific things out. And then it was time to close. And then he called something else. Wait, you know, let's all stand up again, you know, this, and, you know, put your hand on your own body. Well, then he didn't move. And so he told us later that he's having this whole dialogue in his mind about, I'm not really sure if that's enough to convince me seeing these people, but maybe if it were something that happened to me, if it happened to me, then maybe I'd be a little more convinced. Well, just at that point, Jeremy says, oh, wait, one more thing. If there's any issues with hearing or people whose hearing is messed up or things, you know, and then he's like, oh, that got my attention. And so right when he said that and he said about hearing and, oh, you know, your ears, Vinny, I was sitting on his left side. And this guy, I don't know how he maintained his composure. I didn't know anything was going on. But at that moment, he hears a huge pop in his left ear. He hears cracking in his left ear. And then he realizes, I can hear her, me, on his side. Well, that's, you know, cool if you had an ear infection or you had something. But we had no idea any of this was going on. He wasn't, like, doing anything. He wasn't jumping up. He wasn't hitting Courtney. He was doing nothing. He was saying nothing. But what he told us later is, 6 years ago, Vinny had a cancerous tumor in his left ear. And in order to remove the tumor, the doctor gave him two options. One was, we can take out some of the tumor and give you radiation therapy, or we can just go in and take it all out. He's like, I didn't want radiation therapy. He was 15 years old when this happened. So the doctor went in and they did surgery and they removed the tumor. But in the process, he lost his hearing in his left ear and his nerve endings were all messed up. So from like this point back to his ear, including his ear and about an inch behind his ear, he had no feeling, absolutely no feeling. And if he did touch himself here, he would feel it here just because it was all messed up. But when that happened, that pop and that cracking in his ear, he started to get feeling in his ear. And he started to touch his ear, and he couldn't believe that he was feeling it. And so right after that, Jeremy gives the invitation to say the prayer of salvation. And Vinny says, I'm thinking to myself, if God just did that, he's freaking out. Oh, yeah. It happened. It shocked him so bad when that pop happened. He swallowed his gum. He was like, he was in such shock that he just, like, it startled him so bad. And so when he was describing it to us, he says, you know, like if you have earbuds or headphones on and one side's out, you can hear it in one side. But then when that other side comes on, it just, like, shocks you because it's so loud. He said, that's what it was like. And so he said, when that happened, I thought, and then Jeremy says, you know, you want to pray and receive Christ. He said, I'm thinking, if he did it with my ear, yeah, I'm going to say that prayer. I'm saying it. And he told us last night that in that instant that happened, everything he thought, everything he believed, everything he had decided changed in that instant. His whole life changed. And so when I called him tonight, I'm like, hey, Vinny, we're going to share your testimony tonight. You know, I said, what was there anything that was really outstanding aside from just the fact that he was so freaked out all night? We were up till 2 o'clock in the morning talking with them. And, you know, I'm like, hey, man, I got Kool-Aid. If you want us to mix it. So he wants to know. So like all of a sudden he's like, what is tongues? Like, I want to know more about that. Like, what is that when you speak in the Holy Spirit? What is that? He has all these questions and he's just like, I'm so freaked out. And so this morning, or actually this evening when I asked him about it, I'm like, what is the big thing or anything? He says, well, one main thing besides the fact the whole thing's phenomenal is I wasn't even going to go to Augusta. I wasn't even supposed to, you know, I wasn't even supposed to go. It was like a last minute thing and just, yeah, all right, I'll go. So he said that was one thing. Then wrote it down. He said the other thing was that when he said that in his mind, that maybe if it was something that happened to me, I'd believe it. And he says, and just then he's like, oh, wait, one. Jeremy says, wait, one more thing. Hearing. And he's like, oh, like, God is like listening. And so then he just, you know, talked about just the whole phenomenal thing. He just could not get over the fact that he wasn't even going to be here. And so we were talking sometime about 1:30 or 2, and I said, Vinny, you know, your mom, as much as she loves you, she couldn't do that for you. She couldn't restore that as much as she wants you to have it. And just the fact that even if you were going just because you want to see someone talk in tongues, or you wanted to see a miracle, just the fact that you were willing to come gave God just enough of an opening to show you how much he loves you. Because what's the one thing nobody could do for you is restore the hearing in your ear. What's the one thing you couldn't buy is the restoration of the hearing. It's a miracle, you know, a miracle. God works a miracle just because he loves you. He saw, I didn't even go up there. I didn't get up out of my seat. Nobody touched me. I just was having this conversation in my head, and God loves him.
Yeah.
And he knows it. And there's no doubt. He, you know, told Courtney this afternoon, I think we need to get back there like once a month. And just, you know, so I got some Kenneth Hagin books and mini books and loaded them up. Like, just start here. You know, you have a lot of questions and you have a long way to go, but God is there. I mean, he's already done the biggest thing in your life besides salvation is he got your attention in a big, big way. So Vinny is a changed young man.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Thanks, Claire. The thing that really struck me about what Vinny said last night is he kept saying, you don't understand. This has changed everything I believe. This has changed my whole life. Everything I knew to be true is just gone. Everything I knew. And this is, and nobody, he didn't even know. He wasn't there laying hands on his, he's just standing in the service and like lightning from heaven into his ear. Yeah, sure.
He like you were saying, he should be a poker player, because we had no idea. Like, we were talking to him after the service over here, and he didn't say anything. We're like, hey, nice shirt, small talk. He didn't happen to mention, oh, by the way, my deaf ear just opened up, you know. But so afterwards, you know, he left Courtney for a minute, I guess, and he's like, hold on, you know, give me a second. He took off from Courtney, and he found Jocelyn in the hallway. And still, he wasn't like, he's like, well, I really want to keep in touch with you guys. That was a great service. And, you know, do you have Facebook information and stuff? So we're exchanging Facebook and all that. And Jocelyn's just, you know, striking up a conversation with him. Well, you know, what's going on? What happened? And he was like, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, I was sitting there and told the story that we just told you. And then he said, just, I wanted to add this one thing. He was so freaked out. He said, he holds up his hand. It's like this. He said, I'm still shaking. He said, he's like this. I mean, you can't even imagine that. I mean, this is one of the most notable miracles I've seen in our ministry. I mean, the guy goes from think about it. That morning, he wasn't sure if God existed. And by that night, his deaf ear opened up. I mean, a lot of us don't even have a context for that. You know, I mean, that's like, you know, a lot of us been raised in church and kind of grew up with, yeah, you know, God exists and some of these concepts. The whole concept of God and Christianity and all that, he didn't even really believe in it. And by nightfall, he had experienced a Book of Acts, Gospels, miracle. So praise God.
That's Amen. Right. Yeah, that's what's awesome. And how much does that show us the love of God? How much does that demonstrate how much God, somebody loves it? I think it was Jocelyn or Jeremy, one of them said to him when they were out in the hall and he was telling them, and I think it was Jocelyn, she said, you know, that God just did that to show you how much he loves you. And Vinny said, I guess so. I mean, I guess so. Well, you know, I think he's just still trying to take it all in. He's just been really in shock. You know how people have a traumatic event and they're in shock? That's kind of how he is right now. The last 24 hours, he's been in shock. This is like his whole world has changed. It's just so funny because he asked somebody asked one of them or somebody, he said, okay, now, am I supposed to quit doing something? Is there, like, what are the rules? You know, basically, what is it I need to quit doing and what do I need to start? Give me the rules here, you know. And they're like, look, don't worry about the rules. Look, God's obviously working in your heart. Just let him work in your heart. We're not going to whip out the rules here and start living that way. We're going to live from our hearts. Praise God.
Praise God. Let's give God praise.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. You know, we've been believing for, and Lord spoke to us being this year about astonishing things happening.
Yes.
And then added jaw-dropping, and I would say that's in that category of the things that are happening. And so that's a precedent here for this week and beyond this week. So let's just thank him for astonishing things. Oh, we praise you. Thank you, Lord. What you're doing in our midst, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We're so grateful, Father, that you're alive and well and working in Augusta, Georgia, and Denver, Colorado, and Greenville, South Carolina, and all other cities and places and towns in this world, every tribe, every nation, Father. You're working. You're wanting to reach them. And so we thank you tonight, Lord, as we open up your word, that light and truth and revelation will come. And Father, I just pray even the hardest heart will be broken. Any barriers, Father, for your will and your plan just fall away, Father. And I pray that this not be just a message of information for people's minds, but reach them in their hearts. Meet them right where they're at. Father, every person here, way beyond the scriptures, way beyond what I thought may happen here tonight, Father, do Ephesians 3:20 in people's lives tonight super abundantly more than we can ask or think or hope or dream or pray. I thank you for that, Father. I give you praise. I thank you for utterance. I thank you for boldness. I thank you for clarity of speech right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Have your Bibles turned to Luke chapter 4. I've been thinking the last few days about a ministry trip I took years ago. I was saved in August of 1982. So this August will be 30 years as a believer. How time flies. And I got involved. I got saved in an evangelistic crusade in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Evangelist by the name of Lowell Lundstrom. And it was miraculous that I was even there that night and went forward and got saved. And then I went back to St. Cloud State University in the fall. And that's where I went for my freshman year. So I went back for my sophomore year. And I got connected with a group called Campus Crusade for Christ. And they are a worldwide organization and operate in high schools and colleges all throughout the world. And I got connected with this organization, and they had a real heart to train up believers to share the gospel. And through a series of events, I went on my first trip, missions trip, just like the folks here had this week, and from Greenville and Denver. And so I went to Daytona, Florida. It was I'm from Minnesota. It's cold up there, icy cold. And we went for our spring break. It was in March, and it was cold. And we took a bus down to Florida, 24-hour bus ride, and went down to Florida. And we had a little bit of training, and then they sent us out to share the gospel. And we had this track called the Four Spiritual Laws. And they sent us out to in pairs to go on the beaches of Daytona to share the gospel. Well, I had a friend with me from school, and neither one of us had ever shared the gospel with anybody and never got anybody saved. And I don't know how the two of us got paired up. But so and he was a big guy, a football player, you know, a great football player for St. Cloud State. And me and him, you know, you'd think it'd be no problem for him to just go up to somebody and talk to him. But we were petrified. We were scared. And so we basically wandered for 2 days on the beaches of Daytona trying to get the courage to share the gospel with somebody. And the only thing that we shared the gospel with is we were at this little cafe that was right there by the beach. And there was this big Indian, like a totem pole thing. And we shared the gospel with it, and he got saved. But that was the only thing for 2 days. And so imagine you're on this week-long trip. And we knew in advance the whole purpose of the trip was to share the gospel and to grow in this and then to bring it back to St. Cloud State. And we've been there for 2 days and have gone around and we have not approached anybody. Nobody for 2 days. And you go back and you hear all the different stories of people that, you know, aren't as talented, aren't as, you know, smart, aren't as big, whatever. And they've been out sharing the gospel. And me and my friend have gotten nobody saved. And so the third day, I just went ahead and made a decision. I don't know how to do this. I'm scared. These people on the beach, they look intimidating. But I just made a decision. I'm going to share with somebody the gospel today. And we both made that determination. We prayed. We went out with just a new determination. We probably walked for about an hour. But finally we came up to this young couple. It was they were in college. I guess they were down on spring break as well. And they're really, really, you know, kind of an intimidating looking couple. And we came up to them and we're just shaking. Yeah. Talk about Benny shaking. We are just shaking. We don't know what we're saying. We don't know what we're doing. But somehow they listened to us. And we went through the four spiritual laws, and those two people prayed with us.
Amen.
To be saved.
Amen.
And those are the first people I ever prayed with.
Praise God.
To be born again. And it was so exciting to go back to the group and to share what had happened. But we overcame fear. And I made a decision. I'm not going to go back to Minnesota the same way that I came. And I overcame fear. And even that first time, I mean, and we talked to other people that day that didn't receive or weren't open to talking. But something inside of me, that first one, breaking through. And we had nowhere near the training that we're giving this week. Not filled with the Holy Spirit. Not taught these different things. And we were able to do that. And so I just want to challenge anybody that's here, maybe from Good News Church or other folks that are here, that maybe you've been that way. Maybe you're scared. Maybe you're afraid. All the different things. Maybe the enemy's come and messing with you. This isn't real. I just want to encourage you. You just open your heart to God. And you just step out of your comfort zone. And you just give God a little bit to work with. And He'll use that little bit. And He'll use you this week. I promise you He'll use you. Amen. You find Luke 4, verse 18. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. This is talking about Jesus, and it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me, the Anointed One, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, broken down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and free favors of God profusely abound." Now this was Jesus. And we've read about in the Gospels and we've heard about the miracles. Do we have any doubt tonight that these things happened in the ministry of Jesus? Do we have any doubt that and certainly he's talking about he can get people out of a real prison. And certainly he's talking about, you know, real eyes being opened. But these are all spiritual things happening in someone's life. Broken heart healed. Being able to see things. Receiving God's favor. Receiving God's blessings. Do we have any questions that Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, was able to do these things? Now, we have people in the church today, and Jesus said, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That the things that He did 2,000 years ago, He's going to do forever here on the earth. But we have many churches today, they don't believe even this. They don't believe that Jesus is still doing the same works. Or they may believe that Jesus can do these things, but we don't necessarily know if He'll do them for me. Acts 10:38 says this, how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power, and how he went about doing good, and in particular, curing all. Everybody say all. Curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. We're talking about the devil harassing people, or he was talking about that. All who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. The Spirit of God was on Jesus. The Spirit of God was in Jesus. Jesus came to show us what the Father was like. And the great love that God had for people, Jesus came and demonstrated that love. And the world had never seen anything like it. And the religious leaders hated him so much of what he did for people because it made them look bad. Perform miracles. Deaf people hearing, blind seeing, the dead raised, lives changed, financial miracles. Wherever he went, he brought the life of God, the love of God, forgave sins. And so there's many today that may even believe that Jesus can do these things. But they need to have a revelation that Jesus can do it for them. But we here at Good News Church, we not only believe that. We not only believe that Jesus, the things that he did 2,000 years ago, we believe that he's doing those things today. In Augusta, in Denver, in Greenville, in France, any other town, any other city, any other place where there's people, we believe that Jesus can do miracles. We believe that he can raise the dead. We believe that, you know, any kind of thing you can think of, creative miracles, he can do those things. We believe that. We've seen that. We've experienced that. We've had those things. We believe here at Good News Church that we're an extension of the book of Acts. That the same things that we see in the book of Acts, we'll see here. But we also take it a step further here. Look in your Bibles over in John 14. You know, we're talking about Empower 2012. This meeting is a dream that really we've been having for years to do a meeting like this. And the impact meetings, and you know, that was just so supernatural when we first started those meetings. But we were going somewhere with these meetings. And I feel like we're really, you know, not quite there, but we're getting there in a greater way than this year. Empower 2012, what we're doing is we're doing training, we're doing teaching, we're doing mentoring, and then we're going out and doing the things that we've trained in. And I'll look at all the testimonies already. But we here at Good News Church believe that God is doing something else in churches, that God is doing something else in people, and that we've got a mandate here at this church to preach this message, to teach this message, and to train people. John 14, 12 says this, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me." Do we have any believers here in the house tonight? Do we have any people that believe that Jesus died for your sins, that he paid the penalty for your sins, that he forgave you, that he rose on the third day, that when you die, you're going to heaven? And you're born again, and you're made a new creation. And you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are now in Christ. You are co-heirs with Jesus. You're a co-laborer with God. We're believers. Right? They called the early church believers. And we've been too long been called Christians. And when we say the word Christian, it's just a code, a moral code. It's a conduct. Oh, you're a Christian. Benny was turned off by Christians. Many people, and probably you, have been turned off by Christians. By a moral code in the way we act. But see, we here at Good News Church, we're believers. And look at what it says here. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." Now, we could just stop right there. I mean, that sounds good. The works that... This is Jesus talking. In my Bible, this is in red. The works that I do, he will do also. But don't you love this? And greater works. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Now the problem in the church, and let's just say it's a church that believes in miracles, that believes that Jesus is doing the same yesterday, today, and forever, believes that he can heal, believes that he can save, believes these things. Most of those places, though, don't believe that the average church member can do these things. They believe that only a few special people, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. See, I grew up in a church in a large group, hundreds of millions in my church. And see, the minister did everything. The minister studied, the minister prayed, the minister went to visit the sick, the minister did the service, the minister did everything. And it's no wonder that those ministers didn't last very long. And so I was a member of that church, and it was so great because I didn't have to do anything. In fact, I just partied all week. I had a hangover coming into Sunday. I'd throw up on the way to church. And the only thing that I had to do, I had to go to confession once a year, receive communion, go to church on Sunday, and it was so awesome. Their services were less than an hour. I could get in and out within an hour. I could even go and just sleep during the service. No one would know because they're all sleeping. But you know what's really sad is we have a lot of churches like that today, and we just look to a few people to do all the work. But see, but my Bible says here, it's he who believes in me. That it's not just a special few with some kind of special gifting and some kind of special anointing that can do the works of Christ, can do the greater works. It says here that believers can do the works. We believe that here at Good News Church. In fact, we believe it so much that our mission, and what a mission is in any organization, is what you're supposed to be doing. And our mission here at Good News Church is we are empowering people to give life. Not necessarily raising them up to be full-time ministers, although I believe that some will be. But we're raising up church members, people, to be life givers. To the same life that they received, freely you have received, freely I give. And we're raising up an army of people to be life givers. And we believe that Good News Church is a life-giving church. Ephesians 5, verse 1 Amplified says this, therefore be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. I believe we're to imitate God. I believe that we're to go around doing good. I believe we're to go around healing all those that are oppressed by the devil. I believe wherever we go, God goes with us. I believe the Holy Spirit is in us for a reason. It is not just so we have goosebumps. What's the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What's the purpose? Is it just so we can pray in another language? Pray the perfect will of God? Is it so we can praise in a greater way? Is it so we can just, you know, we can preach better or have more revelation from the Word? What's the main purpose for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? See, we have to go to the Bible, and in many churches like ours, they've gotten off. Turn over to Acts chapter 1. And while you're turning over to Acts chapter 1, I'll read 1 John 4, verse 17. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. as he is, so are we in this world. Acts 1, verse 8. All right. I'm going to read you the main purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I love, I can teach you all the different things about the reasons for praying in tongues. I can teach you all the different things about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we teach those things. I love all those things. And, you know, so many of the things that I love about the Holy Spirit. But look at what it says in Acts chapter 1. What Jesus is saying to the church. What Jesus is saying to us. What the church has gotten off. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. And you shall be witnesses. Who? The preachers? The highly anointed ones? The special ones? The ones that have the title, you know, before their name? And see, that's the mindset. And so what we have is, we have these special ones that are, they're getting burned out. Because they're just carrying the weight of the ministry. And we have all these people in these churches. And the only ministry they can have is the ministry of helps. Is to help the man or woman of God look good. And that's all you're qualified for. We got 150 people saved on Saturday. Is that right? How many minutes, Nate? 45 minutes? 150. How big of a crusade in this city would we have to have, and how much money would we have to spend to see 150 people saved? Do you see why God's plan is so much better than our plan? And His plan, He's a good steward of resources. How much did that outreach cost us? Some gas money, some bottled waters. 150 people saved. 200. Well, Pastor, I don't really know if they were saved. Well, I'm not the judge of whether they're saved or not. I was at that meeting 30 years ago when I got saved, and they didn't do as good a presentation of the gospel as we do. And I went forward, and I really got saved. So I'm not going to be the one that's going to determine whether they're saved. My job is to preach the gospel. How will they hear without a preacher? And I appreciate the people walking in our cities and praying. And I appreciate the people doing good works for people. But they're not going to get saved by you just being a good person. I've had no one look at me and say, boy, you're such a good person, I'm going to get saved. Romans says, how will they hear without a preacher? The gospel is the power of God and salvation. In order for someone to be born again, the gospel has to be presented. And so I will present to you that what one of the main things that God is doing is He is raising up the believers to take their place in the body of Christ. And finally, we can be a body. I've got nothing against evangelistic crusades, nothing against TV ministries, but nothing against radio. But I'll tell you what, it's not been effective in the United States. We've got 60 to 80% of our people aren't going to church. And so if they're not going to church, what are we going to let them do? Just let them go to hell? While we play church and believers just transfer from one church to another, and one gets bigger, another gets smaller, and they just kind of move, you know? Over here, boy, they got great praise over there. Oh, the programs over here. Oh, the building. Oh, they want to, they support Israel over there. Oh, the pastor's got a real good hairdo over there. It just makes me want to puke. I won't do it tonight, but it makes me want to. Maybe I need to. Maybe that's the kind of illustration you need. All right, who wants it? What could we do if we had 22 million evangelicals in this country? 7% are trained in evangelism. Only 2% have gotten someone saved. And then of those 2%, I mean, they don't know. Who knows about miracles? If Vinny's ear wouldn't have opened up, would he have gotten saved? We're going to do whatever we can to reach someone. And if we have to pray for them and have a miracle first, or get them saved first, I don't care. And so, I'm the leader, one of the leaders of this empowerment revolution, and I don't really know who's in it. Because we're not meeting. Revolutionaries, they get together and they have meetings, you know, different leaders. I'm not meeting with anybody. So I'm kind of having a revolution all by myself, but thank God I got some people here to... But the word empower means this, and so we're having an empower conference. The word empower means to give someone the authority or the power to do something. It means to enable someone to do something, to make someone stronger and more confident in controlling their life and claiming their rights. Yeah. And I hope, you know, and I know, Philip, you guys leaving tomorrow? Yeah. I hope for just the time here that just a little bit of empowerment has come. Yeah. Greg, I just hope, just while you're here, I'm just trusting God to happen. So precious. And I'm so grateful for you guys coming. I mean, you could be anywhere else. And you put a lot of sacrifice into being here. And I am thankful and honored to have you guys here. But I just hope that some of this empowerment, because I don't live in Denver. I live here. But I'll tell you what, I'll do whatever I could to help you guys. But we got to get this message out. And it may start off small and it may just be a few, but I believe there's people, I know there's believers out there, they're just waiting for this message. This week we're working on the I Give Life courses. We already have people in Australia, in Fiji, Africa, Thailand, Ireland, already wanting the course. The believers want it. Now, I don't know about the pastors. I'm working on the pastors. Oh, it was so rough in Australia. I went to a church and made the pastor so mad and so upset, he didn't even give us an offering when we preached there. Took us to his house for dinner, but he did not like our message. No offering for you. It's okay. I didn't come there for an offering. I came there for a message. To give a message. Now we'll close with this. At least my part. I don't know about other things. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 verse 11 says this. And he himself gave some to be apostles. Some prophets. Some evangelists. Some pastors and teachers. It just says some. Some folks teach that we're all one of these five. That's not true. This fivefold is the leaders in the body of Christ. Some. We can't have 400 people leading Good News Church. He gave some to be apostles. Some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, what's the purpose of the fivefold ministry? I'm about to read it right here. But we have gotten off into all these other things. All these other causes. Now I'm a pastor. We do hospitality. We do nursery. We do preschool. We do children's church. We'll have picnics. We'll do events. We'll do all kinds of things that churches do. But if I miss the main thing, what am I doing? I mean, how would you like to build some kind of house and it all be in vain? You know, 17 years of ministry, it's all in vain. Just doing nothing. Just spinning my wheels. I don't want to live that way. I want to be purposed. I want to be acting on the word. I want to be pleasing to God. I want to do what he's called me to do. So I've got to have the Great Commission, which is making disciples and reaching people with the gospel, a main part of this church. Is anybody here? Y'all bored? The purpose, the main purpose of the fivefold ministry is for the equipping of the saints. Anybody in here a saint tonight?
Yes.
If you're a believer, you're a saint. Equipping of the saints for the ministry of helps. For cleaning the church, for being an usher, to being on the sound team, counting offering. Those are all great things. We need to, we have to, you know, we're a body. We, families, we take care of things. But I don't believe that's the work of ministry we're talking about. I believe the work of the ministry is Acts chapter 1. I believe it's witnessing. I believe it's sharing the gospel. I believe it's praying for people. I believe it's calling people on the phone and loving on them. I believe it's his people, and it's all kind of levels, but I believe that believers have the life of God in them, and they can do the work of the ministry. And how much more powerful can we be as a church when we leave out of here and we go into all the different places where we live and where we work, and each one of us is a life giver, each one of us is an ambassador for Christ, each one of us is a minister of reconciliation, each one of us has a ministry. Can you imagine how exciting church will be? The only time you get together will just be testimonies. When believers begin to realize who they are. Now I realize there's babies, they've got to be fed, they've got to be taught. I mean, people come in here in all the different ways and they're hurting. And I understand we're not going to, you know, require much out at first. But hey, after 5 years, 10 years... Let's keep on reading. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Each one of us, the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. That we are no longer children. See, God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow up. No longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. Our preachers have got to speak the truth in love. Our preachers have got to get it right. Our youth pastors have got to get it right. We've got to speak the truth in love. We've got to be bold. We can have fun, we can entertain, we can do all those things, but if we miss speaking the truth in love and we don't do our jobs, then what are we doing? May grow up in all things whom is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Boy, I dream of the day when every part in the body is in place. Every part of the body. Right now, we just got a big fat head. And the rest of the body is just carrying the head around. That's what it is. It's just a big, fat head. Well, the day of the big head is dead. Let's do t-shirts. The whole body joining it together. Every joint supplies according to the effect of working by which every part does its share.
Right. Amen.
See how exciting it is when you have a church where everybody takes ownership. Everybody takes their part. I'm not saying you have to go out. I mean, a lot of people, they can't even go out in the streets with us. But you can go into your world. You can bring love into your world. But it's going to take you taking a step. It's going to take you saying one day, okay, I'm scared, but I'm just going to step out and give God something to work with. And every time I've stepped out, God has met me there.
Praise
God. And that boldness that you were talking about, we can operate in that boldness.
Amen.
We can live there. We just have to give Him a little bit and just step out and let Him work through us. And how exciting church will be. And you just start where you're at. See, outreach is just practice. Church on Sunday and Wednesday is just practice. The real game is out there. Every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of self and love. See, my role has shifted from being the great man of God who has to know everything and have every idea and be this highly anointed, always on, always, you know, in the throne room of God, coming with some message, you know. My role has shifted from that to being a coach, to being a mentor, to being a trainer. And I feel like one of my main purposes, there's four main purposes for my life. Be a laborer. Pray for the laborers. Send the laborers out. Matthew 9 talks about praying for laborers. In Matthew 10, He sent them out. So we got to give opportunities for people to be sent out. Why do you do that? Training. But then I got a fourth calling on my life, and that's to raise up trainers. Train others who can train others. And see, this week, we've asked the people of Good News Church, because the people of Good News Church, we love getting people saved. We love doing miracles. And, you know, I don't know, is Grayson not here? Harry, that one summer, how many folks did Grayson get saved? 300 people saved? Grayson is he'll just get his backpack and go off by himself. This little kid just going off. 300 people saved in a summer. Man, this guy, he can preach the gospel. Same way. A bunch of these young people. They know what they're doing. They're skilled. They've been doing it for 4 or 5 years now. They're bold. They're confident. You know what I'm talking about, Jesse. Jason, you know what I'm talking about. Bubba, you know what I'm talking about. Tori, don't put your head down. You know what I'm talking about. And when they see this little kid out there, preaching the gospel, they listen to what he's got to say. Who is this guy? And so they love getting people saved. But you know, we've talked about doing something a little different during Empower 2012. We said, hey, what we want to do is we want you to train others. We want you, the things that you've been learning over the last 4 or 5 years, we want you now to impart it to others. And you know, that's hard. How many know? You may be going out with people that don't want to be there. You know, or maybe they're just hard to get along with. And you're supposed to train them. Just let me go and do my thing. You just go do what you want. But see, we got a different calling here. And if we can, we've got to take time to train people. We've got to teach them. And what are we doing? It's harder. It's more challenging. And we're going to have to make some shifts and do some teaching on coaching and mentoring and training. You know, training is they come back and they got questions. And when you make mistakes and you correct them in love and all the different things. And no, you don't. That's hard. But we got to make that shift, and we got to have more and more people. Because I tell you, we're already having requests. We've got to have people from Good News Church to be able to go to other parts and do training. I can't be there. Even the videos. We'll have to have people there. And so, you know, I don't know where you've been. Maybe you've been on the fence. But all of us can take a step up this week. And again, I'm not asking you to go to preach to all the basketball players. I'm not asking you to go into Walmart and just start screaming out and gather a crowd and get them saved. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not even asking you to go on outreach. I want you to, because it's great practice. It's great training. You can come and just carry a bottle of water. You can carry a clipboard and just be there. But I tell you, you start watching it and you start seeing how easy it is. You want to jump in there and do it. And we'll take you wherever you're at. But the tougher way is, and this is the Good News Church, we're going to have to pioneer some of these things. Well, we've got to help others catch hold of this. And I tell you what, Greg, I mean, all the resources, Philip, same for you, all the resources of Good News Church are at your disposal. Whatever you need. I know whenever the Lord directs you and whenever it's time, but imagine starting your church this way. It took us 17 years. Imagine you starting off this way. What a difference. What a church you'll have. What an amazing... But so, you know, I don't know how you feel about it. You go, man, I don't know. It's just like, it's kind of a weighty thing. But I tell you, I was sitting here tonight during praise, awesome praise and worship tonight. And I'm just sitting there. I'm just saying, okay, Lord, whatever you want. And then in my mind, you know what I did? I just said to Jesus, I saw Jesus walking on the water. And I said, Jesus, just bid me to come. And you know what? I just stepped out of the boat and started walking on the water. I mean, we're just going to go for it. And we're going to love people. We do it in grace. But this empowerment thing is not going to go away, y'all. This is who we are. And this is God's heart. And so I guess what I'm asking you, and I'm asking the people that have been here, and I'm asking the new people, I'm just asking you to open your heart to the Holy Spirit. If I'm wrong, prove me wrong in the Word. I mean, we all of us can have bad attitudes, but just open your heart and just start begin to pray, Lord, if this is real, I mean, show it to me. Like Vinny, I mean, just show it to me. And then begin to pray, you know, for all of us, use me this week. And I may have a situation Ori, I mean, I know you were scared. This is your big brother, 6 years, but something just came on you. And aren't you glad you called? And when you go back, your brother's going to see a difference in you. The gospel's about transformation. It's about change. And see, what the Holy Spirit does in us, it enables us to do things we can't do in our own strength and our abilities. It enables you to accomplish the vision that is so massive. That seems, the Holy Spirit, I mean, the empowerment revolution, I don't have to fret about it. It's going to happen because this is God's heart. And I'm getting every area of my life and ready for this. And I guess what I'm just saying to you tonight, why don't you come along for the ride? Why don't you come along and be a part of this? Why don't you just open? Because God will use you in amazing ways. You may not be called to full-time ministry. If you are, we'll help you with that. But I believe the highest calling is the believer's ministry. We're all believers. And to find out our calling and walk in that. 22 million evangelicals. Let's just say we get 11 million of them trained in this. And let's just say within 1 year, those 11 million people got 10 people saved. That's 110 million people. And let's just say those 110 million people in the next year got one person saved. That's another 110. Well, then you got your 110, that's 220. You see how this could... They had the big crusades in Acts, 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved. But there's this little part in the book of Acts that says, they added to the church daily those being saved. That's us, that's the believers. Adding to the church daily those being saved. Praise God. Let's stand, everybody.